Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to the house of the Lord here on this new year. We're already halfway through January. Can you believe that? And fortunately, we got in before the snow comes, so we're grateful for your attendance here today. We want to begin with some announcements. You'll see these on the back of your bulletin. And we're gathering soup for the Super Bowl. Deb, do you have anything else you want to add to that?
If you want to make monetary donations, you can. If you want to write a check, make it to the Thermal Food Bank.
Okay.
So if you don't get out and go soup shopping, you can give a monetary donation.
Great.
Also, if you have poinsettias, you can take those home today.
Please take your poinsettia today.
And if anybody has a green thumb and would like a poinsettia, that poinsettia sitting over there on the floor is mine. You can have it. Because if I take it home, it'll be dead within a day.
So. All right. Bob, you look like you want to make an announcement.
I got a couple things. But could I ask you to take your mask down when you're talking so we could understand you a little better, please? Thank you. Before snow goes and we get some times here where we're not sure what we're going to do, if we hit that occasion again, either call myself, call Frank, or call Deb by 8 o'clock on Saturday evening, and we'll have a decision for you as to whether we're going to cancel or not. That should give you enough time to make your move as to what's going on.
Did you set by Friday evening?
Saturday evening. Saturday evening before the Sunday morning service. And I think that somebody already mentioned about the flyers in the windows to be able to be taken out, because I'm gonna turn the heat back from 60 to 55 this week, because we had an overwhelming fuel bill this past month for the flyers that was in the windows. So, just wanted to pass that along. And don't forget, the new directories are also back here. If you haven't gotten one, good deal. Gotten one, so avail yourself to the others. Thank you.
And we want to thank those that took the Christmas decorations down. It is always a big task to do that, but with the poinsettias, it still looks nice here this morning. So next week it will look bare, but please take those along home today. Without any other announcements, let's begin our worship with this prelude.
Just one quick one. There is the January birthdays treat is in the back. So when you leave today, grab a treat on the way back. So for any of the January birthdays, it wasn't here when it was supposed to be, so they're back there.
Anyone here today has a January birthday?
Okay. Wanda would have been.
Wanda?
Yeah, hers was yesterday, but I talked to her yesterday, and they weren't going to venture out in case the snow started when they were here and they have to go home in it or whatever.
Yes. All right.
Tracy, I didn't forget. I wanted to pass along thanks and appreciation to the Ladies' Aid for the fine basket or bag, whatever you want to call it, but it was a kind gift, and we just loved that, and all the cards and the words that were written in the cards. We just thank you, and may God bless you all as well for the sentiment sent our way.
Appreciate the senior bags. And now, the prelude. Our call to worship comes from Psalms 36. Your unfailing love, O Lord, is as vast as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches beyond the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, your justice like the ocean deeps. You care for your people and animals alike, O Lord. How precious is your unfailing love, O God. All humanity finds shelter in the shadow of your wings. You feed them from the abundance of your own house, letting them drink from your river of delights. For you are the fountain of life and light by which we see. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. And now let us join together in sharing. Please stand and share in a hymn. And it is number 127. God, we do thank you, Lord, for great things you have done, and we give you praise this morning. We ask you may come and be in our midst, Lord, as we've gathered here. You said that wherever two or three are gathered in your name, that you would be there. And so, Lord, we invite your presence. We pray that you would illuminate the scriptures and help us to follow your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to take a moment to share together the joys and concerns of the congregation. And so, what's on your heart today?
My sister Irene is going Tuesday for a heart procedure down at Washington Medical Center. She's been in decline now for about a year now.
Okay. And that's on Tuesday. Prayers for Irene. And Dolores Wolf is having surgery on the 21st. We want to keep her in our thoughts and prayers.
And I will be on the 21st as well.
And Jerry as well. Jerry's having knee surgery. We want to pray that God will raise him up again. All that will go well. Danny?
Let's just make it general. Anybody that's having an ailment or an illness, pray for them. Okay.
Thank you. Frank?
We want to continue to keep Brother Bob in our prayers. He's still having issues and so forth. We just pray, Father, that you'll find a way to give him some relief. And also, Larry, his son, who's been taking treatment for cancer, pray for him and all those that will be traveling going this weather. Give them a safe journey.
Thank you. Yes, Bob.
Frank hit me there with, I mean, a couple, and I thank you for that. I appreciate all the put that out there. But also keep my wife on the prayer list from some of her surgery she's had. Also want to continue to lift up Kathy back here and Doris. And our large family, which consists of the Baker, the Free, the Owler, and Michael Burgers, and so many others, I'll tell you, we got such loving cousins in our family, at least I do, that it's just overwhelmed him. We just want just them to know that. And of course, our church, you, Tracy, and your family, we got to think of Kenny and Marilyn Olin, Steve Wolf, and Alan Baker, and so many others. So many others. It's the only way to confine it that we have concerns about what the good Lord is. Lend a helping hand in the cure or comfort for them.
Thank you. Jerry's list, Deb's list, my list, your list.
That's our country.
And our country.
Our world, actually. Our world.
Yes.
Or his world.
Let's come to the Lord in prayer. And as you bring your lists, you can either kneel or remain seated with your head bowed. Let's pray. Dear God in heaven, you crown the year with your goodness and your past drip with abundance. We have been so blessed. And as we come before your throne of grace this morning, Lord, we're acknowledging where our blessings come from. Thank you, Lord, for the goodness of the past season. As we celebrated the holidays, as we celebrated a new year, we know many are in need and we have so much. And so, Lord of God, we thank you for your abundance, and we ask that you would help us to share the good news, help us to share that which we have been given with those that are around us. We think, Lord, of our world and how needy it is. We think of our country, and we ask, Lord, for your intervention. Lord, when we plead for revival, we pray, Lord, that you would be with our leaders. We ask that you would surround them with good counsel. Pray that you would place the right people in their paths. And the decisions, Lord, that they make, we pray that it would be good for all the people, that we might live lives that are peaceable. And so, Father, would you move in a mighty way in our families? We thank you, Lord, for our families. We thank you, Lord, for those friends that you've put in our paths. We thank you, Lord, for work and for jobs and co-workers. And, Lord, we just want to pray for those that are sick today, maybe with the flu or maybe with COVID or maybe with other symptoms, Lord. So we ask for your hand of protection to be upon our nurses and our doctors and healthcare workers. Pray, Lord, you would watch over our police. Thank you, Lord, for our firefighters. Thank you, God, for all who do something in our community to make it a better place. And we pray, Father, that you would just be with those who are having surgery. Be with Jerry, with Dolores, with Irene. Others, Lord, we just pray for your hand to be upon them, help the surgeon to do their best. We pray for healing as only you can do and provide. So raise folks up, Lord, and we pray that you would provide in so many ways: physical healing, financial, spiritual. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to move in a mighty way in the time that you have given to us. As we think about the new year that lies ahead, Lord, there'll be changes that we'll have to accept, changes that we'll have to face, things that we'll have to get through. But we know that you're there. Thank you. You promised to be with us through the trials and the testing, and you have promised to provide. And so we look forward, Lord, to the blessing. Give us a vision to see the bigger picture. We pray for those that are struggling. Meet the needs of those who are hungry today. We ask you would bless. Bless our missionaries, our pastors, evangelists, our teachers. God, you are good. And we thank you for filling this new year with your goodness. And we pray as Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to join with us now in singing hymn number 34.
Lord, my God, when I am all someone.
may be seated. Our scripture for today comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 7. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. And you shall take with you 7 each of every clean animal, a male and his female, 2 each of animals that are unclean, a male and his female. Also 7 each of birds of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of all the earth. For after 7 more days I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and it will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made." And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters were on the earth. So Noah and his sons, his wives, and his sons' wives went into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of clean animals, of animals that are unclean, of birds, and of everything that creeps on the earth. 2 by 2 they went into the ark to Noah, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the 2nd month, the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Would you pray with me? Father, we just pause in your presence to ask your blessing upon these words. May you use them mightily and remind us of your great love. Thank you for the story of Noah. Teach us anew, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Christmas is over. Most of the decorations have been taken down. Some take down right afterwards, but we worked on ours yesterday. Got everything from outside and inside down, put away again. It's a job I hate to do. I don't mind getting the stuff out. It seems like it's kind of fun when you're unwrapping things and finding, oh, you remember you had this, and decorating the tree. It's lots of fun, but taking things off and wrapping them up again seems like quite a chore. But it needs to be done, and we have begun a new year, already into half of this month. I hope that you had a good holiday. Hope you were left with many good memories. I brought something along with me today I wanted to share with you. It's a toy from my childhood, and it's something I've kept over the years now. And you might recognize it. It's a Noah's Ark. Inside the Ark here, if you take the top off, you'll find all the animals inside. I'm not going to get them all out, but inside are all the animals and Noah. And here's a lion and a camel. And, of course, we've got to have Noah as well. We'll set him up here on top. So I don't think this was under too many trees this year. Or the last couple of years, I doubt too many children requested these. Several years back, Heifer Project International did these little Noah's Arks banks to collect money in, and I've kept this one over the years as well. I love those kinds of little things like that. Banks and arks are right up my alley. I don't think this was probably the most popular gift in the last couple of years. And I'm sure it wasn't on the Christmas wish list for 2021, but it is significant. It's a reason I chosen the scripture for today as Noah's Ark. When my mother was a single parent trying to raise 3 boys and holding down a full-time job, We would stay with my aunt. She would watch us before and after school. She lived near the elementary building and a few blocks from the company where my mom worked, the bicycle company. They made party hats and favors and party supplies. And so we spent a lot of time with my aunt and her children, my cousins. It was this aunt that prophesied that one day I'd be a preacher. I guess she was right. After she died, my cousin Doug, who was about the same age as I am, came and gave me this Noah's Ark playset. And he said that I used to play with it in his house as a child. And I often think about that and keep getting it out over the holidays. It's one of the few toys that I have from my childhood, and so it has a lot of meaning for me, those early years. In fact, in colonial America, children had few toys. Might be a handmade doll or something like that, but one of the most popular toys was the animal-related toy set, Noah's Ark. And these sets came with domestic and wild animals in farm and forest and jungle settings. Many of these, most of these, were made by a German company. Germany was the big toy maker at that time. They said that Santa went there to get his toys. And so many kids wished for a Noah's Ark set. It might be that they would get, you know, just one figurine or one animal each year. It might be carved by hand, or it might be ordered from Germany. But they were precious, and they were to take care of them and treat them with care as they played with them. You know, very few children would encounter a lion or a camel in person. And it wasn't until 1874 that the first zoo came to Philadelphia. It opened, and children had a chance to get to really see some of these animals that they heard about. Prior to that time, small groups of exotic animals would travel and tour the country in various parts and for short periods of time, and kids would get a chance to get a glimpse of these animals. The first exotic animal to be exhibited in British America was in 1716, and it was a lion. And so can you imagine kids getting a chance to see that for the first time? You know, a few years later, then, it was a camel that came to Boston. And can you just imagine people's interest and the talk of the town when these animals came and they got a chance to see them firsthand? You know, many kids only heard about these, only got a chance to think about them from storybooks or maybe from toy sets. And so they enjoyed visiting, they enjoyed interacting with animals, and Noah's Ark play sets were very popular. But you know, I love the Noah's Ark story because it's foundational. If we as Christians say we're Christians, then we have to begin at Genesis. To get to Revelation, you have to start at the beginning. And there really is no need for a Savior without the creation of man and without the fall of man into sin, and then the worldwide judgment of Noah's flood. In rescuing Noah and his family, God had rescued him so that he can also rescue the animals and to preserve life on this planet. And so I'm sure today many farmers and pet owners and bird watchers are grateful and appreciate the variety of forms of life that we have. Understand that the Pennsylvania Farm Show ended yesterday, and there were two new breeds of rabbits that were exhibited there at the farm show. You know, as children of God, we're grateful for all the blessings of life and the way the Creator has designed our world and the variety of things and creatures that He's put into our world. And also we're grateful for salvation, salvation from sin and separation from a loving Heavenly Father. And so today I want us to consider the significance of the number 40. The number 40. Our scripture says that it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And so we know that the windows of heaven opened up and the floodgates on the earth opened, and there was a massive deluge of water, and that rain continued to come down for 40 days and 40 nights until the whole earth was covered. Think about that, the judgment of God. There are many references to 40 in the scriptures, in Old Testament and New Testament. And while the practice of numerology, this pseudo-scientific belief in a divine or mystical relationship between a number or one or more coinciding events is forbidden in the scriptures, numerology is considered a part of the occult. We don't need to really search for numbers or the secret codes within them, but we do need to recognize that the scriptures have significant meaning. And here we find 40 connected with the flood as the first incidence of 40 in the scriptures. And so 40 has some meaning, has some purpose, has some implication, and it's not merely due to chance, but by God's design and his purpose. 40 may not be significant in and of itself of just a number, but it is significant when it's associated with a generation, or it is associated with a time of testing and trial and then blessing. And God has a purpose for 40 days and nights. He has a purpose that we can see repeated throughout the scriptures. Noah's Ark is not just a cute little children's story or a toy to play with, but it is symbolic of the rescue of God. Rescue of a fallen man and the survival of the animal kingdom in the judgment of God. And so I think 40 means something. 40, lots of ways that we can see that throughout the scriptures. And I want to give you seven ways or seven things that we can see associated with 40. The first is trial and testing. Trial and testing. And of course, the reign of the great flood, the deluge, lasted 40 days and 40 nights, covering this whole earth. You know, some people will scoff at that and they'll say, well, it was just a local flood. But we see here that it was a cataclysmic event that took place around the world. That flood covered all of the world and life was extinguished that was not on the ark. And we can find that true in the fossil record. Fossil record indicates that there was a massive explosion of life, loss of life, rapidly, killing off the dinosaurs, killing off all of life, and it's important for us to understand that. I don't think we can really build a very much of Christian faith without understanding the creation story. And most that's taught today is evolution. I think we can see very easily how evolution leads to racism and other problems that we're experiencing today. But creation leads to a fact that we believe God so loved the world that not only did he send his only begotten son, but he also held the world accountable in the time of Noah. We also see time and trial and testing in the time of Jonah. In the story of Jonah, Jonah was sent to preach at Nineveh. And he went through the city, a great city. It took several days to walk through the city. And as he walked through, he preached that the city would be destroyed in 40 days if it didn't repent. We also see 40 and significant with the giant Goliath. Goliath mocked and taunted Israel for 40 days before David slew him. Also Moses, in killing the Egyptian, he fled to Midian, where he spent 40, not days, but 40 years in the wilderness tending the flocks. Before Samson's deliverance, Israel served the Philistines for 40 years. And it's told in Deuteronomy that you weren't to give a man capital punishment. They were to receive not more than 40 lashes. It was believed that 39, shy of one, would be significant for a punishment. They thought 40 would kill a man. And we're told by the Apostle Paul that he received 40 stripes minus one. He received 39 lashes five times. And so, no wonder we put so much weight on what Paul says throughout the scriptures. The second thing that 40 reminds us of is fasting and suffering. Moses fasted 40 days and nights to prepare himself to receive the law, the Ten Commandments, on Mount Sinai. The great prophet Elijah endured 40 days without food and water in order to gain more instruction from how to lead the people. And Jesus himself fasted 40 days to prepare for his public ministry in the desert, thwarting Satan's temptations. Another way that 40 is used is in wandering and waiting. The Israelites wandered in the desert for 40 years. Now, that generation who doubted God's plan had passed, and then the spies had also searched out the promised land for 40 days. In the story of Elijah, Elijah flees from the queen Jezebel, and he walks 40 days and 40 nights to reach Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. And the prophet Ezekiel said that he had laid on his side 40 days in order to bear the iniquity of Judah's sin. And so these are all very symbolic in the Old Testament. Another way that we see 40 is in blessing. We know that while the Israelites were in the desert 40 years, that God rained down manna, they had a chance to go out and gather their bread each morning for that period of 40 years. We're also told in the scriptures that Isaac and Esau were 40 years old when they first married. We tend to want to get married when we're young, and I guess 40 maybe was young back then, but they were able to marry and find wives. We also know that another blessing comes to us when we hear of a pregnancy. The human gestation period for a child is 39 to 40 weeks. There's three trimesters, 13 weeks each. And so it's a tremendous blessing to have new life in a family. And also, following Christmas Day, we know that Jesus was eventually presented in the temple. And so on the calendar, from Christmas Day to the presentation, which is celebrated February the 2nd, is 40 days. Another way that 40 is used is in the period of time that the reigns of kings and generations took place. So we have King Saul and David and Solomon, each ruled for 40 years. King Joash served an official 40 years. He was one of Judah's better kings. But the greatest king of all, King Jesus, ascended to heaven 40 days after his resurrection, that glorious resurrection at Easter. There's another way that we use 40, and we call it the back 40. I'm sure if you're familiar with that, but it's referring to a remote or uncultivated, undeveloped, or irregular piece of land, usually associated with a farm or a ranch. And on our farm, we had a place that we called the back 40. We had a second farm, the Willis Farm, that we had purchased, and my older brother was living there, and we had a hog operation there. And behind the main road was a large piece of ground, and it was kind of hard to get to because it was behind everything, and so we would refer to that as the back 40. This term first came into use in the 1860s from the Homestead Act, it granted 160 acres to anyone who was willing to farm it for at least 5 years. So it was a great way for people to move out west, settle, get some land, develop a farm. And so they were given two front pieces, acres 40 each, and two back pieces of 40 acres each. And so when farmers were really too far away to be reached, they were usually in the back 40 working on the ground. This term back 40 can also be used as a metaphor for midlife. Second half of life, which is kind of uncultivated, maybe full of possibilities and a purpose. There's some other uses of the word back 40 in the scriptures. We see Did you know that the tabernacle, that was the place where they worshipped, as they were wandering in the desert, they had to be able to move it and set it up very quickly. And so God had instructed that there would be 40 silver sockets constructed. And so the silver sockets was the piece where the post would be set down into, and then they could hang the curtains and make the tabernacle. We also celebrate 40 in other ways. 40 days of Lent will be coming up before too long as we prepare for Easter. Traditionally, the Sundays of Lent are not counted, and Lent begins with Ash Wednesday. It's a time of repentance, time of preparation, and a time of celebration of the resurrection. But you know, there's even another way that we think about 40, and I just heard it on the news this week. When we think about the economy, we are experiencing the highest level of inflation in 40 years. And so you thought prices were up. They are. And it might be because of shipping. It might be because of COVID, people out sick. Regardless, the prices that we're experiencing now are the highest in 40 years. And thus, 40 is significant. And it is something that I think we want to watch for what God will do with 40 in your life. We have 40 representing trial and testing, fasting and serving, suffering, wandering and waiting, blessing, times of rains and a time of generation. And we think of the back 40, we think of other 40s in our lives. God caused it to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. He knows what he's doing. He knows the amount of time that he needs in order to accomplish something. And he needed 40 days and 40 nights in order to cover this whole world. God waited 40 years for a generation to pass in order to bring the Israelites into the promised land. I think we should not overlook the significance of 40 in the scriptures. Its meaning, its purpose, its implication, not merely by chance, but by God's design and purpose. And so in closing, there's one more 40 that you need to know about. And so I have a letter here that I'd like to read to the congregation. It's addressed to the members of the congregation and to the Board of Trustees and our deacons and executive director. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it's been my honor and privilege to serve as your part-time pastor for the last 8 years. The book of Ecclesiastes records these familiar words. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plan, a time to heal, a time to build up, a time to laugh, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, and a time to lose. And I would add, with sadness, a time for me to retire. This letter is to announce my notice of resignation as your pastor effective May 1st. I have completed over 8 years of ministry here at Monocacy, starting weekly in January the 12th, 2014. And my last sermon will be on Sunday, May 1st, 2022. I was licensed into the ministry by the Shippensburg, Pennsylvania Church of the Brethren, my home church, on May the 2nd, 1982, and thus I will have completed 40 years of service in May. I am unable to continue to work two jobs, so the time has come for me to retire from regular part-time ministry. I have so enjoyed this fellowship. I am grateful for your open arms, for your friendly reception, and for your brotherly love. And I am announcing this decision now, here at the beginning of the year, so that you will have time to make plans and secure other leadership. My prayer for all of us is that we continue to follow Christ and to serve him in the time ahead. And may you continue to seek to do his will in this community here on the Ridge, and serve the Lord together for his glory. I wish for us all God's blessings of shalom. And It is with love, your brother in Christ, that I signed this letter, Pastor Tracy Weiser. 40 is significant, and we should watch for what God will do in the 40s in your life. Would you pray with me, please? Creator of heaven and earth, Lord God Almighty, you are a maker of us all, and we come before you today in the precious name of Jesus. Lord, as your children by faith in what Jesus has done for us, we ask for insight into your ways. Help us, Lord, to see the bigger picture of what you're doing in this world, in this generation, as we await the return of Christ. As in the days of Noah, so it shall be in the days of the end times. So let us not overlook the significance of the use of 40 in the Scriptures, to understand its meaning, its purpose, its implication, not by chance, but by your design and purpose. God, we pray that you would bless. Bless Jerusalem, bless Israel, bless the church. Bless all of us here as we share the good news of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, would you watch over us in this new year, 2022? Would you keep a hedge of protection around your people? We thank you for your church, the body of Christ. And we ask for your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll close our service today by standing and sharing together in song. It is number 323.
Of Christ like dying through eternal ages, let his praises sing. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt fear assail, by the living word of God shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound in eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming, dealing with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises I cannot hold, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God.
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. from